Well, good evening. Welcome to the gospel meeting. Let's look to the Lord and ask Him for His help. Our gracious God and loving Father, what a blessing it is to live in this day of grace, to come to know Thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And to be involved in the telling forth of the good news of the gospel. We thank Thee, our God and our Father, for sending Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for making a way for us to come into the presence of our God and the Creator of the universe. We look to Thee tonight for help. Help not only for the speaker, but help too for the hearers, that the word might fall on fertile ground. And that it might bring forth much fruit. Springing up into everlasting life. We know that Thou art the one that does the work. And we give Thee thanks for it. Your most precious and holy name. Lord Jesus, amen. Well, I don't know if it would be presumptuous of me to say thank you to the local brethren for having this really wonderful conference. We have enjoyed wonderful fellowship. We've had some really good ministry. And really it started out right, as you might say, from the get-go. Think especially of what Caleb had to say when he posed the question, why did you come? What did you expect? What did you want to receive from this conference? Well, I asked myself that question. And I had to admit that, first of all, what I wanted was for my own benefit. Perhaps I was a bit selfish of me. I wanted to sit under the sound of the word and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I also wanted to bring encouragement. I wanted to have that fellowship that encourages, and I wanted to be encouraged as well. Well, I think that all those wants and desires were met wholeheartedly, and for that I give my wholehearted thanks. But I thought tonight, as the last meeting of the gospel, the last gospel meeting of the conference, that I would like to continue to offer up encouragement. And so, let's turn to a very encouraging passage. It's found in the Gospel of John. John 14. Let's just start reading right from the very first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, I think that's probably one of the most encouraging things in the whole Word of God. Those words were spoken by the Lord Jesus before he went to the cross. And I'm not going to go all theological on you here tonight. It's not a possibility for me anyway. But what I am going to do is I'm going to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you and what he did for me. But you know, as has been mentioned this afternoon, salvation is a very personal thing. Salvation requires that each one answer a question. And so tonight, I'd like to turn to our little hymn sheets and sing a hymn. Let's sing number 14 and be mindful that this hymn is a big question.
Hymn number 14. Soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed? Have you come to Jesus? Tonight, it's my desire perhaps to try and make that hymn a little bit more understandable. Perhaps some of you young children don't know what we're talking about when we talk about the Lamb. In this particular case, in this hymn that we just sang, we're talking about the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We read that in the first part of this book that we have open, John 1. John said to the disciples that were surrounding him when he saw Jesus, he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know, in time past, I've preached the gospel, and I've made an effort to emphasize the fact that it's very important to put your faith in the Lord Jesus, to do it while you're still alive. Because after you're gone, after you die, you won't have any more opportunity to ever come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You will, at some point, stand before Him, saved or lost. But if you stand before Him when you're saved, you'll stand before Him as a saved sinner. If you stand before Him and you don't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ before you die, you'll stand before Him as your judge. But tonight, I have another emphasis. We read that passage in John 14, and it talked about the Lord Jesus coming back. And taking His own to be with Himself for all eternity. You know, the Lord Jesus was the creator of all things, and He made man in His image in order that He might have fellowship with Him. But that fellowship was broken. But at the cross, where the Lord Jesus, who loved you and gave Himself for you, He made a way to restore all things. We have this book that has been given to us, and it's full of prophecy. And I'm going to speak a little bit about prophecy tonight. But what I just read was prophecy. That passage where Jesus said, I will come again. That is prophecy. And it hasn't taken place yet. But much of this book is taken up with prophecy regarding the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming. And you know what? Much of that prophecy has already come to pass. You know, I'm not a betting man. But it has been said that for all the prophecies that came together regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, His virgin birth, His walk on this earth as a man, His going to the cross, His resurrection, all these things that were prophesied, for them to come to pass, the odds for that are astronomical. I am not a mathematician either, but if you remember when you were in school, when there was a number that was so big, they had put another little number up beside it. I never was very good at that, but it meant it was a big number. Somebody said that if you took quarters and the number of quarters it would take laid out over the whole state of Texas, that wouldn't still match the number of the chances of this prophecy and this book not coming to pass. Did I make that clear? Sometimes I think maybe I misspoke. Let me say that again. The chances of the prophecy that has been given in the Word of God coming true are impossible odds, unless it was given by God who knew all things from before the foundation of the world. I mentioned the quarters all over the state of Texas. Texas is a big place. I don't know, you put probably $5 worth of quarters spread out on my hand. I don't know. It's probably something like that. Texas is a lot bigger than my hand. Well, think of that. How many quarters would it take spread out over Texas? It'd be a lot of quarters. Huge number. We'll multiply that times the thickness of 12 inches. How many quarters in 12 inches? It's a lot. Well, it's a huge number. And so when I look at the Word of God, I realize that it would be really foolish to disregard a book that told the end from way back in the beginning. Be very foolish. Well, this prophecy that we just read about, that is about to come true, we have a little more information about that time. Let's turn. We've had it before us already in these meetings. Let's turn, first of all, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're all very familiar with this passage. We'll read verses 16 and 17. When the Lord comes back, it'll be in this way. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Three things that very much impressed themselves upon my heart as I read this again. First of all, it's the Lord himself. He said in John 14, I will come again, receive you unto myself. And here it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. You know, I don't know what that is. And I don't know what the trump of God is. But I think that perhaps the shout that comes from the Lord himself will be, come. And every blood-bought believer will hear that shout. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'd like to add one thing to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But what about you? That's going to be a glorious day. And as I look out across this room, rejoices my heart to know that every one of us will go up together, except for one or two or six or seven. What about you? Will you go up when you hear the shout? Or will you be left looking around at where your mother and father sat, your brother and sister, perhaps your closest friend, and wonder where everybody went? You know, it could happen at this very moment. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. Again, I ask, what about you? Well, there are some people that don't believe that. They don't believe that prophecy anymore. But they had forgotten that this book, the inerrant Word of God, was written by Him who could not lie. It was impossible for Him to lie. He laid out all the things that would happen so well, and they came to pass just as He laid them out. But in 2 Peter, we read about some who don't believe. And it says there in 2 Peter chapter 3, knowing this first, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. My friend, don't be a scoffer. Believe this word that was given. Well, we began this meeting by singing about the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. The time is quickly passing by. But let me just try and explain quickly without turning to the scripture where we get that type in the very beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, and He made man. And He said to man, you can eat anything that I've created. There's one thing you cannot do. You cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, man did. God was right. Man died. You know, that's proof positive that each one is a sinner. You sit here in your chair tonight and you think, well, I'm not so bad. Not in prison. I haven't done anything really bad. But you know, when Adam and Eve, the original parents, sinned, what they did in the eyes of the world today wouldn't be so very bad either. They were disobedient. And disobedience to God is sin. And that's what happened. They disobeyed, sin came in, man fell, realized their sinful nature, tried to cover themselves up. And God came and said, where are you? What have you done? You know what He did? After they tried to explain themselves, He made them coats of skin. He made them coats of skin to cover up their sin. An innocent animal had to die. It doesn't say what it was, but I believe that it was perhaps a lamb. A lamb had to die for Adam, for Eve. Its blood was shed. Their sin was covered. But their sin separated them from God. And that's the way it is for you, for me. In Leviticus, we have another picture. If a man sinned, it says there in the first chapter of the book of Leviticus, says, if any man of you shall bring an offering unto the Lord, shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. We skip down to the fourth verse, Leviticus 1:4, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. So whether it was a bullock or a sheep or a lamb, it was required that the sinner put his hand on the head of the lamb and then kill that lamb. It's not a pretty picture, but it was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross. I'd like to turn in the last few minutes that I have to the Gospel of John once again, where we can read a few verses. Of the Lamb of God. John chapter 19. This is God's Lamb. God provided a lamb of his own choosing. It was his beloved son. His name was Jesus. Came into this world, born of a virgin, and went about doing only the very best things that he could for man. Every time he came in contact with man, he did but good. Well, we read here that man put his hand on the head of God's Lamb. John 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. They said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Think of that. A crown of thorns. Perhaps you've seen a crown of thorns fabricated from thorn trees, not sure what they are. Thorns are this long, 4 or 5 inches long, plaited together, placed on the head of the Lord Jesus. It says in another one of the accounts that they took a reed, smote him on the head, driving those thorns into his head. In Leviticus, we read that the lamb was slain. It was quickly over for that lamb. But the Lord Jesus went to the cross. Let's read on. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. And the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him. They cried out saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Well, our time is quickly passing by. But we know, for the most part, most of us in the room know the rest of the story. The Lord Jesus went there to the cross. One point here, it says, verse 11, when Pilate said to him, Aren't you going to answer me? Jesus said, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. So we find there that power was given to Pilate to offer up the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus willingly went to the cross. The first part of this gospel we read, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, my friend, where are you tonight? Where will you be when the Lord Jesus comes? You hear that shout? Or will you hear the shout? On the cross, the Lord Jesus gave his all. He said, It is finished. And he gave up the ghost. He died there. And then we read in verse 34, John 19, 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you applied that blood to yourself? Through faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work. It's the only way it can be done. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself. It is the gift of God. I have one more verse that I want to read. It's one page over in my Bible. Chapter 20. And verse 31. These are written. Let me drop back. I think we have time to read verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then you too will be among the number that will hear the shout, that will go to be with the Lord Jesus. And where he is, there ye may be also. My time is gone, but I would be remiss if I did not say that if tonight you are left in your chair, if we were to hear the shout tonight, and you were left in your chair wondering where all had gone, you would be left to face the most awful judgment that this world has ever seen. That would be just for starters. You probably would not survive that judgment. You would die. But you would still be on this earth for a time. But then there would be another resurrection. We read about one resurrection in 1 Thessalonians. There's going to be another resurrection. We read about it in Revelation chapter 20. And if you're left here in your chair, should the Lord Jesus come tonight, you would have to come and stand before him while he did his strange work at the great white throne. Let me read those very solemn verses. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, eternally separated from every aspect of God, light, love, everything that God is, separated to live only with your sins and the guilt, your conscience, and the realization that you spurned the free offer of salvation. Don't let that be your story tonight. Believe tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved. You'll go up with us. Let's pray. Our loving God and our Father, again we give Thee thanks for this day of grace that is still open. We pray that there would not be one person left in this room, should that shout be heard tonight, that all would go up with Thee, that everyone would rejoice in knowing that You had washed them in Thine own blood, that their sins were all forgiven, and that they were safely with Thee for all eternity. And Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for giving Thyself for us. What a wonder. We didn't deserve it, but we are very thankful. And we thank Thee in Your precious and worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.